Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We've heard the question from time to time on what is the name Natural Bridge Road based? It's a bridge, but over what and where? It's been asked most recently by one of the visitors to the Curious Lewis page on our website. We brought in Joe Light to take a crack at the question and some others concerning our underground world of caves. There are 7,000 caves in Missouri, dozens around here. Joe Light's a member of the Missouri Speleological Society, a statewide collaborative of caving organizations, and vice president of the Merrimack Valley Grotto, a Kirkwood caving club. Joe, great to have you in here. Thanks for coming.
I'm happy to be here, Don.
Okay, well, you've had this question asked a lot, I'm sure, this question about Natural Bridge. We put that to our visitors on our website, stlpublicradio.org, and Randy asked, where exactly was the Natural Bridge on Natural Bridge Road? Do you know?
I do know. It is in North St. Louis at the intersection of the 25th and Hebert, East Hebert.
And
it's gone. Let me explain the whole Natural Bridge. It's a very fascinating story. So
That's what we want, Joe.
Is actually an old cave system. So you have a large cave system, and the back half collapses, exposing a remnant or a natural bridge. Hmm. And that cave system had if you traced it back far enough up Rocky Branch Creek, you came to Cardinal Spring. And Cardinal Spring is named after a guy that fought in a battle of St. Louis, Fort San Carlos. He was captured, tied to a tree there, taken prisoner up to Chicago, and then released and came back to St. Louis.
All right. His name was Cardinal?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's the headwaters of Rocky Branch Creek that flows through.
And all of that, the Rocky Branch Creek still there. Everything is there except for the actual bridge.
Everything's sewerized and paved over.
Oh. So we're not going to see any remnants of that particular structure.
You see nothing but old maps at the Historical Society.
Just to be absolutely clear on this, so at one point there was this natural bridge that went over a cave. Is that what we're talking about?
No, it went over a creek, which was the remnant of a cave system that had collapsed.
I see. But it was a natural bridge formed out of stone or whatever.
Pure limestone, all natural.
Okay. Gone forever.
Gone.
But the name lives on.
Name lives on.
I mentioned there are 7,000 caves in Missouri, and you've already mentioned a couple of them. A lot of them in the St. Louis area. Why are there so many caves in this part of the country?
Well, there's the whole limestone. We have a lot of limestone. Water formed in limestone, and when you get some water on the limestone, it dissolves it away and just leaves massive voids throughout.
A bunch of them here in the St. Louis area.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, give me some sense of what they are like. I mean, certainly they're large, small, and, you know, various sizes and shapes. But give me some sense of what we have here.
So there's the whole spectrum, Don. There's the largest one we have in the state is 28 miles long. That has walking, it has crawling, it has everything. Some caves are 30 feet long, and you're on your belly pushing and scooting and cussing the whole time. Other caves are massive, big, and beautiful. We have the whole spectrum in the state of Missouri.
Like Onondaga. I think most people would be familiar with that. That's a pretty good size cave. What qualifies as a cave? How big does it have to be, rather than just a hole in the ground, but an actual cave?
Our definition is 30 feet long, and you have to get out of the twilight.
Get out of the twilight.
Yeah.
Meaning It's got to get dark.
Yeah.
What is your own interest in this? I understand, knowing a little bit about you, that this started for you as a very young man.
Well, I grew up in a cave-rich section of St. Louis County. So that was one strike against me. My parents said they were dangerous. That's two strikes against it. And, the movie Goonies didn't help either.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of a dangerous thing to do, I would think, for a young person to go off and exploring these things.
It can be, but if you just use common sense, common sense goes a long way in all aspects of life.
Well, is this something you did alone?
No, not usually, no. Yeah. It's really unsafe to go alone.
What sort of recommendations do you have there are so many caves around here. I'm sure a lot of youngsters have discovered them in their neighborhoods and what have you. What sort of advice do you have for kids and even adults who want to explore?
If you're really interested in caving, go to a local caving club. We will get you underground. We will show you some cool stuff. We'll show you how to do it right, how to be safe, and have a great time doing it.
Are there many local caving clubs? I know we've mentioned two in the introduction.
The best one around is the Merrimack Valley Grotto. We meet once a month. You can check out our times at merrimackvalleygrotto.org.
We will put information, by the way, for these organizations on our website at stlpublicradio.org. You know, in talking about exploring safety and cave safety, I go back to 1993 and the Great Flood, and we talked about this before we went on the air, the cave at Cliff Cave Park in South County. A number of school children were taken there by a teacher, as I recall, to explore during the height of the flood and drowned in this cave. I mean, this is an extraordinary story and one that is still very fresh in my mind because of the tragedy of it. What do you know about that?
It was a combination of everything that could go wrong went wrong. You know, you had record floods that year. The ground was super saturated, so any water fell on the ground, it's going to go move right through it. You had people taking children in that had no experience, ill equipment. It was destined for disaster.
It was a perfect storm.
Yes.
Would an organization like yours do to become involved if a teacher wanted, for instance, to make a trip like that?
We work with you. We'll set you up with people who know what to do. We have some very safe generic caves that we can take people in and show them around, see if that's something they're interested in. Mm-hmm. Most people are interested in caving, and they go once, and they're like, I'm not interested in this anymore.
Claustrophobia,
the dirt, everything.
What are you going to typically find in a Missouri cave, a St. Louis area cave?
In St. Louis area caves, trash. You'll find a lot of trash.
Because?
It's an urban environment. Uh-huh. Everything filters, everything rolls downhill, and the cave's at the bottom of the hill, you know.
It's not a question of people homeless, for instance, or
no.
People like that trying to live in them.
I have never, there's that rumor that homeless people live in caves in the city of St. Louis. I have never seen that.
And yet caves have been historically a fairly active places in this area for commercial reason as well as recreational reasons.
Right.
Give us some sense. I think everybody knows that beer at one time has been stored in caves. Maybe still is. I don't know. Is beer still stored in caves?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, give us some sense of that history.
So what happened? We had an influx of German immigrants. Yeah. And German immigrants are thirsty, and they're thirsty for their beer. So in order to brew beer, there's two types of beer, ale and lager. Ale can tolerate warmer temperatures. Lager, the yeast, wants cold temperatures to ferment. So it's 1850. The only option you have for cold is to do what they did in their native land, which is go into a cave under the streets. And so that's where they started brewing their beer. And it was wildly successful. I mean, at some points, there's newspaper articles saying, you know, the city has gone dry. We've drank and everything till they can brew up more. So brewers flocked to these caves. They built massive structures on them. Caves could not keep up with the capacity. So a lot of breweries got some immigrants, put chisels in their hands, said, I need you to make that cave bigger. That didn't work, so a lot of breweries would start harvesting ice in the wintertime off the Mississippi River and packing their caves full of ice to push more capacity through it. And this was incredible. But 1870 occurred. 1870 was the advent of artificial refrigeration. And like a light switch, caves were pretty much abandoned from that point forward.
Is it safe to say that because we are so rich, if you will, in caves here, that had something to do with the population growth in St. Louis? Obviously, people like their beer. The breweries were here. Because the caves were here, did that cause the population to swell?
I don't know if it caused population swell, but it caused brewing to swell. It caused Anheuser-Busch has a great quote. They started with a shed and a hole in the ground. They're here because of a cave. Falstaff is here because of cave. And Lemp survived because of a cave.
What about remnants of that time? Is there still anything that's visible in these caves that were used that way to remind us of what once went on there?
Yes, I went in this one cave down near Iowa Street, and there's the remnants of the old brewing cast down there, and they're old, and they had splayed open like a flower. They were huge.
And so what do you see? Just rock and dirt?
Rock, dirt, maybe occasional bottle, some trash in there. People like to dump cinders back in the day in caves also.
Yeah. Are they easy to get to? I mean, if I wanted to go there, could I do so easily?
No.
Why not?
A lot of them, they're all on private property. A lot of them have been paved over. We've gotten into a lot of them just by chance, you know. 3 years ago, a guy at the backhoe skylighted one. We get to go in, and since it's been paved over into a parking lot.
Do they, do they represent any kind of a danger? I think of the subsidence problem over in Illinois because of the mines, that every once in a while properties will drop, even structures will drop because of this subsidence situation. Is that an issue here?
No, I've never seen that. They're safe.
Absolutely guaranteed.
I guarantee it, or this presentation's free.
Yeah. You, and some of the information you sent ahead of you, you mentioned Uhrig's cave in particular. Tell us about that. That was a beer cooling cave.
So Uhrig and his brother were brewers. They started out at Union Station, but then they bought a piece of land at Washington and Jefferson, and it was had a cave, and that's why they bought it. So they bought this property with a cave. They pumped a lot of beer out of it, and then they came up with the idea, we have all this beer here. Let's develop the top part. Let's make an amusement facility. We can get the people here. We can sell them beer. We can take their money selling them pretzels. And every German came there on a Sunday afternoon. They were wildly popular.
This was all obviously below ground.
Most of it, just the brewing part was below ground. Uh-huh. Mr. Uhrig called his whole place Uhrig's Cave, but the vast majority of it was above ground.
And how long did this operation continue?
It continued for a while, and it fell apart. Nothing lasts forever. And then they built the Coliseum, which was a mega structure, kind of like an arena there. Uh-huh. Then that failed, and then a bank went on top of it.
A bank.
Yeah.
What's the most fascinating cave property that you're aware of that you've explored?
That would be Winkelmeyer Cave. It's sort of down near Union Station.
What is that one?
Winkelmeyer Cave. It's in a very elaborate cave, multi-leveled. Not many people have gone in there.
So how do you happen to get in there? Just your group find its way in, or was it skylighted, as you indicated? Or?
No, that revolved around a lot of field work, a lot of research, finding evidence, talking to owners, getting permission. There's a lot of drama that goes into getting into a cave sometimes.
What kind of drama?
A lot of people don't know they own a cave. A lot of people own a cave and they don't want to know about it.
So if I'm a property owner and I have a house and discover that there's a cave beneath it, I own the cave?
Historically, if you own the entrance, you own the cave because you own all the land to the center of the earth.
So give me some sense of what you have to do if you've discovered a cave and there's a house sitting on top of it. Walk me through that, if you will.
First, you should contact me immediately.
Contact you?
Yes, I would love to see it. But be safe. If you think there's something down there, don't go in there. Contact us. Most of the time, it's nothing. It's an old cistern or something like that, an outhouse privy.
But in terms of getting the kinds of permissions you would need from owners, that is a requirement, is it not?
Yes, or you're trespassing, so.
Yeah. And they would know if you were down there.
Yes, they would know if you're going in a hole underneath their back porch.
Okay. Joe Light is our guest. We're talking about cavers and caving here in Missouri. This conversation was inspired by a question that was made on our website in the Curious Lewis section asking about Natural Bridge and the origin of that name and what Natural Bridge actually was and where it was. Joe has already answered that question. We'll come back and continue our conversation about caves and caving in Missouri in just a moment. If you have any questions that you'd like to ask Joe, feel free to give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you would like to send us a tweet, do so at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Joe Light. We're talking about caving. What about animal life in the various caves, Joe? Is there anything down there?
Bats. You'll see occasionally some bats in southern Missouri. St. Louis City, there's usually no life because the caves are usually sealed.
Yeah, we hear from time to time about precious life down there, bats being among them, and frequently construction is stopped because the bats are an endangered species in some cases. Anything like that going on here locally?
Perry County has some interesting life down there, and it's a great example of the city and the state and some caving communities and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. They're all working together to make sure this little critter survives.
How does that impact you in terms of where you go and where you can go? Are there restrictions on people like yourself?
No, not really. I mean, we just, if you're safe and logical, you won't disturb anything. Just don't go stomping through like a Clydesdale destroying anything. You'll be fine.
But otherwise, you're in pretty good shape to do that. Okay. There are 7,000 caves in Missouri, at least.
At least.
How are they different? I mean, are they different in different parts of the state? And have you explored caves in areas far removed from St. Louis?
Yes, I have pretty much been all over state. Most of the caves in the state of Missouri are concentrated south of the Missouri River. The geology is a little different, more favorable. There is some large caves in Perry County. Actually, we have over 120 miles of mapped passage under Perry County. There's some large caves by Lake the Ozarks and along the Ozark National Scenic Riverways.
Wow. How many? 170 miles in Perry County?
No, I think it's 120 right now.
120 miles. Is this continuous? I mean, can you walk that 120 miles? Is it all connected, one straight line?
It's not. It's the biggest cave down there is 28 miles long, and it's a combination of big walking passage to on-your-belly crawling passage.
Well, I mentioned Onondaga earlier and the Merrimack Cavern. Are cavern and cave terms that can be used interchangeably?
Yes, sir, it is. They mean the same thing. Cave, well, cavern, pit, we use them all.
Pit.
That's a vertical cave. We have some vertical caves in Missouri.
Well, I know there are some abandoned mines in Missouri that have been flooded and they're used for recreational purposes. Do they, under any sense of the term, qualify as caves at this stage?
No, they do not. They're all man-made. There's nothing natural about them.
Okay. Well, we've got some callers and we've got some tweets. Let's just start that way. We'll begin with Mike calling from St. Louis. Mike, thanks for waiting. You're on the air with Joe Light.
Hi. As a child, I used to live on 18th and Utah Street, and my friends and I used to regularly go into Olymburi Cave that was, and it's still now on Cherokee Street. I can still see the entrance on what used to be Cherokee and Candy and Tobacco Company it's a round entrance that's got some sort of a cover over it. But that, and also I wanted to know what the status of the old Cherokee Cave was, or is today. I used to go in there quite frequently just to stay cool in the summer. So kind of wondering about those two caves.
You were talking about the same cave. Cherokee Cave is closed. The owners have it closed. We worked with them several years ago to remap the cave. We produced a nice map, and we helped them secure the cave because they had a lot of break-ins.
Okay. So it's the same cave. Both those caves are the same.
I'm not familiar with 18. What was the other location?
Was the Cherokee Canning Tobacco across from the old Limp Brewery on Cherokee Street, right in the middle of that parking lot at the old church, between, I believe it's 18th Street and the next street down where the Limp Mansion is. On that parking lot is a round entrance. It used to have, as a child, it used to have a metal staircase, a round staircase going into the cave. And that cave was loaded with old lump beer bottles and racks and all kinds of stuff. We used to go down on a regular basis, you know, and explore. So I was just kind of wondering what the status of, or maybe if you even knew about that one. So anyway.
Yes, that's the Cherokee Cave System. It is actually a partially created cave system. It was created in the late 1940s by a man named Lee Hess. He took a mini Hahabury cave and Lemp cave, did a little quarrying here and there, made a larger cave, and ran St. Louis's only known tour cave.
Okay.
And how large is that?
I want to say just under half a mile.
Yeah. We have an email here from Stuart who writes that Earthbound Beer is storing beer now on Cherokee Street, or under Cherokee Street, I should say. Is that ring true with you?
Yes, that's right. That's further west on Cherokee Street. It's that big red building. I've been in that cave. It was quite an adventure. It was full of cinders, rock, and full of water, and they have done a lot of work cleaning that out.
Who is they?
I don't know, but it's a small brewery has taken it over.
Stuart's email continues. We're rehabbing the old Cherokee Brewery Company stockhouse to serve as our new facility. 45 vertical feet of basement vaults.
Yes, it was very large. It's two stories, if I remember correctly.
Joe, have all the caves in this area been discovered, do you think, or are there some out there that nobody knows about yet?
There is a cycle of discovery. Caves are known, they get lost to history, they get rediscovered. We have recently rediscovered one on Jefferson Avenue, kind of where the police station is. It was a known cave, it had been lost. I found some paperwork, I went out there, looked around, went to Historical Society, went to the library downtown, had a pretty good idea where it's at. I went down there and looked around. I couldn't find anything. My friend is a retired police officer. He worked near there, and I told him about that. And he went and looked around, and he bumped into the owner, and he talked to the owner of some nearby property. And the owner's like, oh, there's nothing here. But wait, there's a manhole in this computer closet in the back. And we popped it, and the guy's sitting on top of a beautiful cave.
When you're looking for a cave, what are you looking for? An opening somewhere where there's a hole that looks suspect, if you will?
Ideally, yeah, but it's never that easy, especially in the city of St. Louis. There's always some kind of research or maybe a little digging. It's never easy. It's, Southern Missouri in the wilds, it's much easier.
It's detective work then,
yeah,
in an urban area.
It's fun detective work because I get to go to Historical Society and spend the day looking at old, cool stuff.
What is your day job, Joe?
I do IT.
Okay. Well, so you can work at home, I suppose.
Yes.
Okay. Let's take another call. We'll have Bruce join us from St. Louis. Bruce, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Mr. Light, I've heard about several of your adventures. I was actually going to ask the question about that brewery cave you found recently. I heard that the gentleman, the retired police sergeant, was with you, and apparently that was used as some sort of still operation in the 20s. And also I heard that relative to the Cherokee cave, that they've been having trouble with people trying to get in, and several years ago the police actually caught people in there, and I thought that was interesting, and it's a warning to people to be careful and stay out of these places unless they have permission.
Yeah, that's a great point. People have to understand that a cave entrance is private property, and they have to be respectful of that. And going back to the other cave, that's the way I discovered it. I totally stumbled across an old article about a bootlegger getting caught in a cave, and that's where my journey began.
Wow, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have you ever found anything of value in these caves? I mean, if bootleggers are storing stuff down there, or robbers or whatever, is there anything of value that you've ever discovered?
A value, no, but to an archaeologist's eye, yes. There's a local caving organization called Cairn, and they're just cave archaeologists. You may see a cave with some trash in it, and they see an incredible wealth of information.
Such as? Give me some example.
I mean, I pick up a rock, it's a rock to me. If they pick up a rock, they can tell it's been worked by human hands, and that may tell another story.
How about human remains? Anything like that?
I have not. I know people who have.
And who would those remains have belonged to?
One of my friends found a jawbone down in Arkansas. Uh-huh.
No way of telling, obviously, who it is, whether it's Native Americans or...
No, he gave
hobos
it,
or what have
you. He told the local authorities, and they didn't do nothing.
Okay, let's go back to the emails here. We've got Ed emailing. When I lived on Benton Park in the 80s, I was told there was a brewery on a cave in the 1800s in the southeast corner of Benton Park. Is this true?
That is the home of English Cave. There was a large cave system there. It since has been gobbled up by urbanization. There's no known entrances. There's a lot of wild and crazy rumors about that cave.
Really? He continues to write here. I haven't read it yet. Your experience with the Lost Cave, English Cave, partially runs beneath Benton Park. Much lore surrounds the cave that was used as early as 1840. Has there been any progress on entering the cave and determining the condition? I guess.
No.
I gather not.
I have a good idea where it's at, but I would need a backhoe and a governor's pardon because I'd probably get in trouble.
Yeah. You know, there must be a liability issues involved with the owners of properties that, above the cave or the entrance to the cave. Are you aware of any issues concerning litigation?
No, because in Missouri you have the sportsman's law. If I allow you on my property to do something and you get hurt, it's your own problem. But if as long as I don't charge money for you to come on my property. So landowners are very well protected in the state of Missouri.
Are there any landowners here that are charging people to visit the caves?
Not that I know of, besides tour caves.
Yeah. What about what about dress when exploring these caves? I mean, what do you wear? Do you have a miner's cap with a light on it, that sort of thing?
We have our own gear. Yes, lights are incredible nowadays. There's LEDs. They burn for days on end. Clothing depends on the cave. I mean, you could wear normal clothes if it's an easy cave, or I know people that have to throw on the wetsuit to really explore a cave.
You always go down with at least one other person.
Always go down with at least two other people.
All right. Okay. What about your organization and people who would like to become involved and who would like to, get into this?
I encourage everyone to check us out. We're on the web. Every third Thursday is our meeting. We usually have a presentation and we talk caves for an hour and a half.
I've heard that can be fairly selective, the people you allow into your organization.
Like all social organizations, we tend to weed out people, the undesirables.
So who would be undesirable?
We get a lot of people are in it for the thrill of the adventure. They just want to go in one or two times and move on to their next idea.
So they have to pass the taste test, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Also wanted to ask you, there's another question that came up through our Curious Lewis page. David asked, where is the cave and the spring at Cave Springs Road in St. Charles?
I had that same question a couple of years ago, and it bit me, and I had to figure it out, so I started researching it hard. And when you do cave research, usually you go nowhere, or you get sidetracked by something else, but eventually I was able to put it together, and I got to the point where I was able to get in touch with some ODOT officials, and I got the original construction plans for Highway 70, and it shows it. It is currently filled in, and the water is channeled through a little 6-inch pipe into the common sewer.
So once again, it was named for something that really existed for all practical purposes years ago.
Right.
Years ago. Okay. What else did I want to ask you here? Metro East. We've talked a lot about Missouri and what's going on here. Is there an active caving opportunity in the Metro East?
Southern Illinois near the Shawnee National Forest, that's primarily, there's some organized caving down there. Monroe County has a lot of caves in it near Waterloo. But Illinois is not known for its caves.
Well, I wonder why there would be such a sharp disparity between here and just the other side of the river.
It's all about the geology. It's all about the geology.
Because they have less of a limestone subterranean composition? Is
right.
that basically it?
We are blessed and cursed with some great limestone in Missouri.
Let's talk in the time we have left, and it's not much about, again, people who are interested in doing this, what they can do and what they should do if they want to go off on their own, Joe. Not everybody's going to come to you. Tell people what's the best way to go about this.
I fully encourage you to go with someone who knows what they're doing through an organized caving club called a grotto. If you're not going to, do we have some rules on our website you can check out, like how many lights you should bring, tell someone where you're going, how to dress properly, some basic common knowledge.
How about the communication devices? I mean, cell phones aren't going to work beneath the ground, I'm sure.
Well, whenever we go caving, you usually just tell someone where you're going and when you should be back. Uh-huh. So in case something goes bad, they can call out the cavalry and come rescue you.
And how many people are involved in your organization who are
right
doing
now,
this sort of thing?
60 active members. Statewide, I'd say a couple hundred.
And are they out and about on a regular basis, looking and exploring and caving?
They're out and about. They look like just you and me. They're well blended into society, but they have the disease.
They have. So that's what you call it, a disease, eh?
It can be it sometimes.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun and most interesting. Joe Light, thank you so much for being with us and telling us about, it's more than a hobby, obviously, with you, but thank you so much for telling us about your society and the Merrimack Valley Grotto. It's been great to talk to you. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.